We are thankful for your presence this morning. We recognize that we have several visitors among us, and we're so thankful for your presence and want you to know that you're always welcome anytime that you have the opportunity to assemble and be with us. I'd like to take for our text this morning Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, where we read, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." There is nothing more important or needful than to come to God. Whether we recognize that or not, we would hope that all people would recognize that coming to God is the most important thing that they can do with their life. It is voluntary. It is a matter of love. God demonstrated his love to us in that he provided a redeemer, a savior, one to pay the price for our sins. And the way that we reciprocate that love is by coming back to him and demonstrating that return to him in keeping his commandments, whatever those commandments might be. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so faith, we need to understand, comes by hearing the Word of God. But faith is not just hearing the Word of God. Faith is not just knowing the Word of God. Faith is not just being able to explain the Word of God. Faith is doing what the Word of God says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But whether you please him or not is entirely up to you. And the desire that you show to please him in keeping his commandments through faith is an act of love. No one is forced. Everyone is invited. But no one is forced to return to God or to please him. But coming to God is conditional upon God's conditions, not our feelings. Coming to God, I can't come to God the way that I feel I should come to God. And you can't come to God the way that you feel you should come to God. Coming to God is stipulated by God. And that's the way, the only way, that we can approach him. Of course, we would try to emphasize to anyone that one must come to God. And if we do come, we must come believing. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. You must believe that God is who he says he is, that he is the creator of the world, that he is the one who breathed into man the breath of life and man became a living soul, that he is indeed the one who is provided a way of salvation for us as we have all sinned and come short of glorifying him. We must believe that God's will must be done. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, as Jesus was concluding the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Very similar to that in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. "The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." And so as we just mentioned a few moments ago, faith is doing what God tells us to do. Jesus said, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them." And a little bit later in the sermon, he's going to talk about those who heard and did not do. And so everyone is to hear these words. The question is, are you going to do what the Word of God says to do? We must come believing that he rewards those who seek him according to his Word. Those who seek him first. Again, we go back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. As Jesus was talking about how that He's aware of the fact, and God is aware of the fact, that we're concerned about many things in this life. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to live? How are we going to get a job? How are we going to pay the bills? He knows that we're concerned about that. And he concludes that portion of his sermon by saying, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things that you're concerned about, these things will be added to you." So when we're thinking about some of these things that we're considering this morning, he who comes to God must believe that he is. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if you desire to come to God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6 is very important to you. That we must know the faith and we must practice the faith. If you desire to come to God, then Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 is very important to you, because it allows you to place coming to God as the number one priority in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's all you need to be really concerned about. Do you love God? Do you want to serve him? Do you want to come to God? If so, you must place him first in your life. And if you do that, he says, "I'll take care of the rest." Do not be worried about the rest, because I'll take care of it as long as you're putting me first in your life, in the practice of the righteousness that is revealed in the Word of God. He rewards those who diligently seek him. That's what it says here. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That goes right along with seeking God first, doesn't it? If God is first in my life, then I'm going to diligently seek him. He's not going to be just some part of my life with something else that I am pursuing more diligently than seeking God first and trying to please him as he tells me to please him. No, I'm going to place him first in my life. I'm going to diligently seek him. One certainly must come to God. How do we come to him? We are to come to him humbly. And this requires an awareness of, first of all, the greatness of God. Now, he is Almighty God. In him there is no weakness at all. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He never began. He'll never end. His love is beyond anything that we can comprehend as well. Can you imagine having someone, an enemy, who wants to hurt you and harm you, and you giving your only child as a sacrifice for that enemy? That's what God did for us. When there were only two sinners on the earth, God said, "I'm going to give my son to pay the price for your sin." So you and I need to think about that. That if you were the only sinner on earth, if everybody else was righteous and had never sinned, and you were the only one who had ever sinned, God would give his son for you. His only son. To go to the cross and to die, to pay the price for your sins. Do you think about that? Have we become so numb to the various pictures and so forth of the crucifixion, movies that have been made? Have we become so desensitized to it that we've lost the message of the Word of God? That the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, who fulfilled the law, the Mosaic law, and took it out of the way so that we might be married to God through Christ, in the doctrine of Christ, so that we might be reconciled to him, so that we might live to the praise of His glory? Do you consider the greatness of God, the awesomeness of God? And when we realize how great He is, then certainly we realize how inadequate we are. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, we read, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We do not instinctively know who we are and why we're here and what we are to be. But God has taught us in His Word each one of those things. And we are completely and entirely dependent upon this book that mankind now calls the Bible for the revelation of these things that are beyond our intrinsic knowledge. I couldn't help but think this morning as we were looking at the book of Revelation in chapter 5 and how that God is seen as holding in His right hand a scroll and that it was sealed with seven seals. You know, the fact that it was in God's hand infers that God wrote it. And as long as those seals remain upon that scroll, we're not going to know what's in there. But the Lamb of God, Jesus, our Savior, is going to open each one of those seals and reveal what's in each one of those. And I couldn't help but think, you know, the Bible's like that. The Bible in general is like that. God wrote it. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's breathed of God. It originates with God. And if God had never breathed it into man to write it, if holy men of God hadn't written as the Spirit moved them, you and I wouldn't know the mind of God. You and I wouldn't know how to come to God. And it would be impossible for us to come to God. The faith that we're talking about here is the faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. But it's not just hearing, it's doing what we hear from the Word of God. We must come realizing our need for God's help. As David recognized that and expressed it in Psalm 51 in the first three verses, he says, Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. What's David saying? David says, I know that I've sinned. My sin is always before me. I'm entirely dependent upon God to take those sins away, to blot those sins out, to wash me thoroughly. And he's speaking figuratively and symbolically there, but the point is that he recognizes that without God forgiving him of his sin, he can't pay the debt of his sin. He doesn't want to pay the debt of his sin. He doesn't want to be separated from God. And he has no way to come to God except as God has provided the way. The prodigal son recognize his need for help. Having separated himself from his earthly father and being in a pitiful condition, it says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 17, he came to himself. Now this is stupid, in other words. I've done a stupid thing in leaving my father's house, in leaving the blessings my father had in store for me. I'm not worthy to be called his son, but perhaps he'll take me back as one of his servants. My father's servants live better than I'm living right now. Maybe I can be one of my father's servants. And so he goes to his father and he confesses to his father I have sinned against heaven and before you. Each of us need to come to that point where we realize that I can't depend upon what I think and what I feel and what my friends and my neighbors tell me about my spiritual condition. I'm entirely dependent upon what the Word of God tells me about my spiritual condition. When God tells me I have sinned, I need to recognize that sin. I need to turn from that sin. I need to confess it. I need God to forgive me of that sin. To come to God, we must come willingly. In John 17 and verse 17, Jesus said it this way, "If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine that is from God, or whether I speak of my own authority." This is an interesting... Have you ever just sat and stopped about and thought about this? If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine. There's a lot of people who say, "I want to serve God. How do I do that?" Well, you have to know the doctrine. You have to know the teaching of God. And having come to know the teaching of God, you still have to want to do what His teaching tells us to do. I know that's elementary, but sometimes we have to make it elementary. We have to make it plain. Do you want to do His will? You'll find His will in His Word. And having found His will there, do it. Practice it. No one can be driven to or from God. True faith is demonstrated in willing obedience. We are drawn either to God and righteousness. In John chapter 6 and verses 44 and 45, Jesus said, "No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Well, that's a rather subjective statement, isn't it? Well, you could say, well, we don't know how God draws us. God drew me to Him in a prayer one day. Or God drew me to Him when I was taking a walk through the woods one day. People could say all kinds of things as to how they were drawn to God. But God didn't allow that to be a subjective statement. He explained how we are drawn to Him. It is written, this is how you are drawn to God. They shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. If you want to be drawn to God, you have to hear and learn from the Father who wrote this book, who delivered this book into our hands for our teaching and for our doing, so that we might come to Him. In James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Seek first the kingdom of God and His right." Make it the priority. Don't be double-minded. Don't say, "Okay, I'm gonna seek God first for an hour or two on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week, I'm going to focus on other things." No, in everything, we are to seek God first. Draw near to Him. Not be double-minded. And so, we are either drawn to God and righteousness, or we are drawn to sin and death. There are no other choice. In James chapter 1 and verse 14 it says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. If you're following your own desires, your own feelings, this feels right to me, this seems right to me, you're enticed by that, you become comfortable in that, you're not being drawn near to God, you're being drawn away from God. To draw near to God, we must hear and learn from His Word. When we start depending upon our feelings, we need to recognize we're being drawn away from God. But it's your choice as into which direction you're going to go. To come to God, we must come on His terms. Romans 10 in the first three verses says, my brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Israel of the day and age of Paul was much like the religious world today, who has and declares of themselves that they have a zeal to serve God, even though they don't know God, they don't know how to come to God, they don't know the true God, but they have a zeal for God. But it's not according to the knowledge that God has revealed to us from His Word. Now notice, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Many people think that because they're religious, they're righteous. No, you can be religiously wrong. You can be religiously incorrect. You can be religiously ignorant. You can be religiously rebellious. If you know what the Word of God says, and you say, I'm not going to do that, that's rebellion. You're not coming to God. You're going away from God. We need to submit to the righteousness of God that's revealed in the Word of God. We must come realizing that the gospel reveals God's only hope for forgiveness. In chapter 1 of Romans and verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Maybe we should bold that last part, to everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, but it will not save you if you do not know it, and if you do not believe it, and if you do not practice it. But if you believe it, and you trust it, and you obey it, and you are found doing the things that are written in the gospel of Christ, you can be assured that salvation is yours. It's promised by God. In James 1 and verses 21 and 22, it says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to know what God says is pleasing to Him, and we must do what God says is pleasing to Him. It must become the implanted word. We must be guided by it in every moment of our life. It's such a treasure. It's able to save our souls when we do what this word teaches us to do. We must come knowing God will execute justice. James 4 and verse 12 says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Some people don't want to look at that latter part. They just want to think God's going to save everybody. He is a lawgiver. Well, if you have a law, you can either keep the law or you can break the law. You can live within the law or you can live outside the law. Well, what if I live in the law, he says, you'll be saved. If you live outside the law, you'll be destroyed. Romans 11 and verse 22 says it this way, therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. You mean, once we're saved, we can be lost? Yeah, it says that many, many, many places in the Bible. When we choose to come to God through faith, we realize it's not a lifelong commitment, it's an eternity commitment. It's an eternity commitment. I'm going to always serve God just as God tells me to serve Him. I'm going to live as God teaches me to live. I'm going to change my character to be consistent with the character of a follower of Christ as seen in the Bible. It's not about me and who I am and what my character is. It's about Christ and His character and God and His character being reflected in my life. It's about me changing if I want to come to Christ. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. He spoke the word to save us. But if we reject it and will not perform it, it will judge us in the last day. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, if you abide in my word, if you continue to abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That Word of God is the truth. You can depend on it absolutely. And without knowing the truth and without practicing the truth, we cannot please God. He who comes to God, do you want to come to God? Must believe that He is. It's not that you should believe that He is. You must believe that He is. And you must also believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Friend, if you're here today and you're out of Christ and you know it, you're like David and you recognize you don't want to pay the price for your sins. You would like to have God forgive you of your sins. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Except you repent, you will perish. If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you're here today and you're out of Christ, but you want to come to God through Christ, we'd encourage you to turn, just do what He says. By faith, accept Him as the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. Turn from your sins, confess Him as the Son of God and as your Savior. Obey Him this morning, being baptized for the remission of your sins, and rise to walk with Him from this day forward forever and ever and ever. In righteousness with Him. You're here today and you're a child of God and you said, I failed in that keeping His commandments, of abiding in His Word. I need to make things right with Him. James tells us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another that you might be healed. He who comes to God must believe that he is who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Will you get on that path today? Will you return to that path today? And may we all stay on that path forever and ever. If we can assist you in any way this morning, please let it be known. Please come as we stand and sing this song.